Welcome on and all to another great edition of Talking Tigs. I am Scott Girard. Joining me as always, Tommy Johnson and Daniel Zollinger. We have some playoff news to catch you up on, as well as looking ahead to the title game. That is all set. Looks like Notre Dame is going to take on Ohio State. I don't know if anyone had them in their final brackets, but that's who it is. Going over that, looks like the NFL playoffs have also started. We could touch on that too, and you know, whatever other news we could fit in before we leave tonight. But before we do, just want to check in with you guys. Hope it's been a good week. I had a good week. It's been pretty white here in Georgia. At least the top half had some winter weather, which was interesting. And I thought it was interesting because it was, I think, what partially delayed the playoff game. But yeah, had some fun in the snow, had my daughter's birthday, so it was a good week for me. Hope it was for you too.
Yeah, good to be with you. I mean, you know, it's hard to believe that we're finishing up LSU. I mean, we're finishing up the college football season, but two good playoff games that were fun to watch, and you know, on to the national championship, and glad to be able to talk about it with you.
Yep, only one game left in the season, then long off season till August. So plenty of sports to be played in that interim, but it's always pretty bittersweet when you're reaching the end of the season. LSU obviously not a part of that, but the semifinals did deliver, I think, in terms of watchability and fun, and hopefully the final between Ohio State and Notre Dame is the same way. But yeah, enjoyed watching those, and glad to break that down with you. And then we're getting into the basketball season. March Madness not too far away. We'll see if the Tigers have anything to say about that, but yeah, let's get into it.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was kind of like what we, or at least what I thought, where I thought Notre Dame and Penn State would be the better game, and it was. I mean, it came down to, you know, a field goal towards the end, but pretty good game otherwise. I mean, it was pretty evenly matched, I would say. Notre Dame and Marcus Freeman going to be playing for the title. I don't know. I don't know if that falls on James Franklin, because he just – has not had a chance to win the big one. I mean, he's had plenty of chances, but he doesn't win the big one. But, I mean, what Freeman's done in his first few years there, this is, I guess, a true testament to him. I think a lot of people are rooting for him. I kind of want to, but then again, I don't, because then we'll just, you know, never hear about the end of it from Notre Dame fans. But I'd say, I don't know. Would you say that his – I don't know. It was a good game, but – I definitely didn't want to see a Penn State, Ohio State for the title. So I guess I'm glad in that respect, Notre Dame didn't win. And then the other one, Ohio State and Texas, that was fairly close, at least till that, you know, that strip sack return for a touchdown. But yeah, we kind of thought that Ohio State was going to take it, and they're probably the favorite leading in, but I don't know. What say you about the two games that we had this week?
I mean, really enjoyed both of them. Definitely rooting for Notre Dame. They really enjoyed that game against Penn State, and thought they just played with a ton of heart, a lot of fight. Really liked the performance from Riley Leonard. And so I thought it was a great playoff series. I think that Ohio State looks like the real team out there. I know, Daniel, you had Texas as a preseason national champion. I had Ohio State. So, we, you know, kind of went down to the wire on that one, but I think Ohio State's going to take it against Notre Dame. Although if I'm just rooting for a team, I want Notre Dame to win. Ohio State's just too tough with their defense, with Caleb Downs, with, Jeremiah Smith and all the others. But overall, two really good games of college football. I would say, I don't know if you saw like the they've already started comparing LSU 2019 to Ohio State, and they said that after that win against Texas, you know, now they're tied with the number of top 10 wins. But I just feel like now with like a 12 team playoff, of course you're gonna have, if you win throughout the games, you're gonna have top 10 wins. So it's a little bit different, I feel like, but overall, Ohio State's a very, very good team. I thought they even had like a little bit of regression compared to the way they played in the first two. playoff games. And but even still, it's too much for Texas. And here they go.
Yeah, both games were very entertaining, which is what I think everyone was hoping for after a slew of blowouts in the first two rounds. The first game between Notre Dame and Penn State, two teams that had very similar game plans, focusing kind of ground and pound with their stable of backs. Penn State with Nick Singleton piling up three touchdowns, all three scores for the Nittany Lions, minus a field goal. And it kind of swung back and forth with Penn State going out early lead 10-0, then Ohio State swinging back 17-10, and then Penn State taking a lead with just a few minutes left. And then I think I said Ohio State, but I meant Notre Dame there taking the lead. And then Penn State had a chance to win it as it was tied up with like 1 minute left, Penn State on their own like 20 or something. And then Drew Aller heaves it up into like double or triple coverage. And then Notre Dame picks it off, gets the 20 yards they need, and then kicks the field goal at the very end to win it. So Penn State fans were thinking like, at worst, we're going to overtime here, and at best, we're going to win it. And it turns out that Notre Dame was the clutch gene. So I know a lot of people were pointing fingers at Aller there, and I kind of feel bad for him a little bit. And his draft stock had been rising a lot. Now he might be finding himself back in Happy Valley for next season after that little mishap.
Yeah.
But a lot of craziness. And then on the other side, between Ohio State and Texas, another close game. Ohio State's defensive line really showed up, especially with Jack Sawyer with the strip sack return for a touchdown that killed Texas's hopes at the very end. But across the board, their defense was looking stout, firing against Texas's attack. They couldn't really get two big plays going, but Texas was playing well just to match them. And then, yeah, was that kind of final decisive play as Texas was trying to score. They had first and goal from the 1 yard line after a few Ohio State penalties, and Steve Sarkisian had some questionable play calls, including a Les Miles-esque toss dive back to the 10 yard line that got stopped for a huge loss. And then that kind of blew the whole thing up. So LSU fans might've cringed when they watched that one. But I think overall Ohio State was the better team, and I'm glad that it's not a matchup that we've already seen in the regular season, like it would have been between Ohio State and Penn State if they had matched it up. So I agree. I think Ohio State is going to win, but yeah, Notre Dame, they seem to have a little bit of momentum and magic going on. So I think that's who most of America will be rooting for, even though Notre Dame already does have that national fan base, whether kind of earned or not. So they'll have a lot of cheering in their front. So yeah, hoping for a good final game. And as we wave goodbye to the 2024 season.
Yeah. But wait, now this they did play earlier in the season, though. Notre Dame and Ohio State.
I don't think so. Notre Dame's only loss was to Northern Illinois.
Oh, then you're right. Then why?
They played in 2023, and Ohio State won, like, on the last second field goal. I don't know if that's what you're remembering.
Oh, I guess that's what I'm remembering. Yeah, never mind. Scratch that.
Yeah, it seems like it's another Big Ten matchup. Just because they're basically situated, what, a couple hundred miles from each other. I mean, it's not that far anyway. But yeah, I don't know. I just, again, hope it's a good game. At this point, I don't really care who wins. I don't really have a favorite one way or the other. Just want a good game. And I think we should get it. I don't know. I guess, yeah, you said Notre Dame has some momentum. I would say Ohio State does, too. They've been steamrolling people. I mean, Texas at least gave them a little bit better fight than the last two matchups. But, it's still just too much to handle. And I don't know. I'd say with the blowouts of the first round, the second round really started to, show some mettle. And these last few games were pretty good. So I think ultimately for the first year of the, 12-team playoff, I think it's fine. I don't have a problem with either team. It's they got there because they won. That's all it is. So yeah. I don't know what they'll change next year, but at least for the semifinal matchups, they were pretty evenly paired.
Yeah, and I wanted to go back to your comment, Tommy, about the comparisons to 2019 LSU. Like, both of these teams were obviously very good and I would say deserving national champions regarding of who wins, but I don't think you can necessarily put them in the all-time great teams just because of that. Like, Ohio State has two losses, one to Oregon, which quality loss, and the other one to Michigan, not quite so good, but yeah, they got two losses on the record. And even though they played some good teams in the playoff, they didn't absolutely steamroll everybody. And then Notre Dame, they've played a really good season, but the obvious blemish is their loss at home to Northern Illinois. It's hard to say you're the best team of all time if you lost to Northern Illinois. Once or if we do see some teams get that 16-0 or even 17-0 record, depending on how they finish in the college football playoff, then I think those conversations can be had. But that's something for next season or beyond.
Yeah. I think it's going to be really hard for anybody to duplicate what LSU did in 2019, just because of the quality of teams that we had to go through to get to the mountaintop. But that's just me.
Sure. No, I would agree. I'm sure a lot of people would too. Not to mention what Joe Burrow himself did. I don't think Will Howard could have the same season, or he hasn't had the same season as Joe Burrow has, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you think about Ohio State and Notre Dame? Do you think this will be another good close matchup coming down to just a play or two? Or do we kind of have like a dud? I don't see Notre Dame blowing out Ohio State. I don't see that being an outcome. I could see Ohio State blowing out Notre Dame, though. What do you guys think early on?
I agree that I don't see Notre Dame. I don't think Notre Dame blows out Ohio State. I do think that that Ohio State has the potential to do so. And right now they're about a 10-point favorite. I think I like Notre Dame to keep it closer than the experts think. I think I like them to cover, but I still think Ohio State wins. I think they're just too much for the Irish.
I'm on the same board there. Yeah, we're seeing Ohio State -9.5, which is reflective of how they've beaten good teams. They beat Texas by 14, even though it was kind of a big swing at the very end. I like Notre Dame to stay competitive. The over-under is 46.5, so they're thinking a kind of a low-scoring game. I see something like Ohio State 27, Notre Dame 24, so maybe a three-point field goal game. Similar, I guess that's the exact same score of Notre Dame versus Penn State in reverse. But, yeah, just hoping for a good finish and not just a stomping one way or the other.
Yeah. I mean, do we think Notre Dame has a chance?
I say, yeah. I mean, they've been playing well. Their defense is very solid across the board, and they've got a good run game. So that should be enough to keep you competitive with anybody. We said the same thing about Oregon, and then Oregon got thrashed by Ohio State.
Oh yeah, I know. I think it depends on which Ohio State shows up. If it's playoff Ohio State, the game it's already over. But I mean, if it's the regular season Ohio State that we saw, the Ohio State that lost to Oregon, that lost to Michigan,
13-10, my goodness.
Yeah, like then Notre Dame is well on their way to a national champion.
Yeah, and it is it's an interesting location too, because it's here in Atlanta actually, and actually talked to a photographer I think is going to be working that one. I was trying to think of what I could ask him about stuff like this, but it was at a party. It was kind of loud. He was busy. I didn't want to bother him, but I mean, both of those teams having to be down here, definitely a neutral site location indoors, although, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean there won't be a weather delay, which is funny, but the snow is done. We're not going to have any issues for the game, but I don't know. I'd say it's going to – how the game ends, I think, will determine, you know, what the final view of the playoffs would be, because everyone kind of had a, you know, kind of dismissive view of it because of those blowouts. But if we finish with a good game, then I'll say overall, yeah, the playoffs were good. And they'll be happy with the 12 teams. And who knows, maybe they'll stick with it for a while.
I mean, do we like that? Because the one thing that you can say about this 12-team playoff is that neither of the teams in the national championship would be anywhere close to a national championship without the 12-team playoff. Like, it's not like, you know, 1-3 seed wise won all their games and went on, and it's like, well, we just got extra football, but it didn't really matter. You know, like the 12-team playoff, the extra games and extra legs to that bracket considerably affected the outcome of the national championship. Do we like that? Or do we think, because I see it both ways. It's like, okay, that's cool. Like, it's cool that Notre Dame was able to go on a run. It's cool that Ohio State was, you know, able to kind of redeem themselves after having a little bit of a disappointing, or not really disappointing, well, I guess a disappointing regular season, especially a disappointing loss to Michigan that kind of, you know, gave them that second loss to throw them out. But I think that, I mean, that's cool. But then again, it does in a way degrade the value of the regular season. So, you know, Notre Dame can go and lose to Northern Illinois and still be a national champion.
Yeah, well, without the playoff, we would have had Oregon versus Georgia in the national championship, 1-2, and that would have been weird. Obviously, Oregon got thrashed, and Georgia suffered a loss with their backup quarterback to Notre Dame. So I don't know if either of those teams were deserving. So it does show the...
Well, no, you would have had... Wait, no, I'm talking about a 4-team playoff. Like, if you, like, going from 12 to... Like, going from 4 to 12.
Yeah, I guess so. I was thinking more in the terms of like BCS, like just who are the top two teams like going in. But I see your point. And yeah, the really good quality cream of the crop rose at the end. So congrats to them. I was thinking history rhymes a little bit because Ohio State won the inaugural 4-team playoff 10 years ago, 2014 season, when they were the number 4 seed in that playoff, in which case they would have been left out if it was the BCS only top two. So they got into the 4-team playoff and won that, and now here they are getting into the 12-team playoff and knocking on the door. So that would be kind of an echo back in the Urban Meyer days of Ohio State with Ezekiel Elliott at running back, Cardale Jones. Come a long way since then.
Yeah. Well, I would say it is a good, testament to the fact that if you give someone a chance. Even though if you don't think they are the best, ultimately they could prove it. I mean, who knows what this could have done for the 2011 LSU team that had to face Alabama again after they went and beat everybody else and won the SEC title game, only to play another team. Like if Alabama had, if that was a 12-team playoff, Alabama would have got in and nobody would have been mad.
Yeah.
LSU wouldn't have had to play them right away. But I think it's a good thing moving forward. We're definitely not going to expand to 64 teams. We're not going to do that. We're not going to probably expand again. I don't think we need to. Hopefully we don't need to. Because everyone's, now we got to 12. Might as well do 16. But, like you said, Tommy, they're playing all these teams after the season is over, which in a way is kind of stat padding. But, I mean, it's the playoffs. So it's – I don't know. Is it really, it's the best team that wins the tournament because all you have to do is win when you're there. It reminds me of that one year, the Giants, who I think they made the playoffs barely. They were 9-7 and they had to, every postseason game was a must win.
Yeah.
And they came back, they won it. And then they beat the Patriots off of that weird helmet catch by David Tyree. So yeah. If you make it in the playoffs and then if you win, I guess you're the best team. I mean, if you've beat everybody else along the way, that's what it says.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean,
that's why the SEC is undefeated in hypothetical matchups.
Well, I mean, just imagine if it was Boise State, though. Like, if they took care of business against Penn State, and if I know, but that's what you want to see one year, right? Kind of like with the March Madness, you want to see these 8 seeds in the Final Four, because why not? Let's just see what happens. So I don't mind. Now that I've seen it, I'm okay with the 12-team playoffs. I think the dates are a little weird, like playing on a Thursday, playing on a Friday. I get it's because of the NFL, but, still.
Yeah.
I think they could probably find a time. But anyway, that's that. I mean, any predictions that y'all want to put out there right now?
I feel like Caleb Downs will have a big game and might be the star, like a big interception, a momentum shift play. Maybe that's a little bit of like a, shoe in just because of how electric he's been, but I'm looking at him.
Yeah. I gave my score already at Ohio State 27, Notre Dame 24. So just going to stick with that. And hoping for some pageantry, big swings, like Tommy mentioned, and just competitive football to the end.
Yeah, I'll go with Ohio State, I'll say they'll go 34-21. Just saying that. And of course, we have the NFL playoffs going now. I think I'd stated before, I don't really have a dog in that fight either. Just want to see good matchups. Hopefully, some LSU guys do well. I know there's still some going on now, but at least the first round has started to take place. I mean, the Bills still look like they should. I know we got Packers and Eagles going right now, getting down to the wire, but I don't know. Yeah, then we got a Monday night game in the playoffs, which they don't usually do, right? Like, I don't think I've seen it. So, and then it is Rams-Vikings. I don't know. Yeah, I'm just excited to see what Jaden can do, if he can beat the Buccaneers or the, you know, the Baker Mayfield, the Fighting Mayfields. Do you guys have any, I don't know, favorites for that, for NFL in general?
Well, with the Bengals not in it, there's not as much of the LSU hometown crowd to root for, but there's LSU players across the league. Derek Stingley had two interceptions in their game against the Chargers, picking off Justin Herbert. But yeah, just I think the Bills are kind of looking Terminator-like now. They thrashed the Denver Broncos, who admittedly have a rookie quarterback with Bo Nix, but they're looking very strong. Kansas City's been good all season, but winning by very narrow margins. So although you can never count out Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs, and so I think the Bills might take it to the end and end their kind of miserable no Super Bowl streak for a long time.
Mm-hmm. I like the Bills after what I watched them this afternoon. I mean, Josh Allen looks hot. The whole team is, you know, he's got a defense that's firing, and I mean, it's hard not to like him.
Yeah. Well, I would say, speaking of hard not to like him, I don't know, did have some other news to discuss for LSU. I mean, it was, it's our off season now officially. Of course, you'd love to just hear about some guys are declaring to go pro. There's other guys that, you know, could still end up at LSU once the portal activity resumes. Don't know what's going to happen with Kyren Lacy. I mean, he was, we know what he said. We thought maybe he'll come back, but no, he declared for the draft. But I think now we may know why. He was involved in a vehicle crash, and now they're wanting to talk to him. The authorities are. I don't know. When I first heard about it, I was like, oh, God, you know, what happened? Was he – because there was another LSU player that just happened to be in the car with someone that was doing something. So I don't know if that was the same situation, but I don't know. Authorities are wanting to speak to you directly about it. I mean, he got into a crash, and I think he left. I don't know what was going on at the time, what his state of mind was, but that's definitely a no-no. And unfortunately, someone passed. So I don't know, man. I would love to see the good and all that, or see how it would, you know, turn out for the best. But it just doesn't look good for him, and it's unfortunate that, you know, there was a casualty there. But I don't know. What do you guys think? Like, I can understand what his thinking was. Like, oh, I'm going to go to the pro because, you know, I got in this wreck now. But I don't know if you're going to get drafted if you're having this hanging over your head.
Yeah, I mean, especially – I mean, isn't it like potentially like vehicular homicide that they're going for?
He might be put in the pen for a while.
Because I think it was like he was driving too fast and like passed a car, leading to another car swerving into – oncoming traffic.
Yeah, he didn't actually crash with anybody, but he was in the wrong lane going too fast, which caused the swerve, which caused the crash. So it was kind of his actions that led to it. And then he sped off. He didn't report it to authorities or anything. And then they got him on it later. And it happened just a couple of days before the bowl, which makes sense why he did not play in the bowl. It's at the time, it seemed like he was just opting out, but now he was apparently opting out for more nefarious reasons.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he turned himself in. I think that's what they're hoping to do, trying to reach out to whoever his representation might be, or counsel, whatever you want to call it. But I don't know if he's done that yet. I haven't seen anything that he has, so I can't imagine he's just going to hide in a cave until this goes away, because it's not.
Yeah. And the crash was on Louisiana Highway 20, which goes between Interstate 10, kind of near Baton Rouge, and Thibodaux, Louisiana, which is I've actually driven down that road plenty of times. And it's a most parts two lane road, kind of winding through the swamp there. And it's dangerous even under normal circumstances. So I can definitely see how that would happen. And leads to a crash. So very sad. And Kyron Lacy himself is from Thibodaux, so maybe he was going home or to see friends or what. But so thinking about the family of the man, I think it was an elderly man, 78 years old, who died, which is very sad. And we'll, I guess, find out more about this later. But not a good look for the LSU program. This is what you hear about Georgia athletes.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, I don't know. You'd think one person would have learned the lesson for everybody, but apparently not. Thoughts go out to the family, and he was a Marine, I believe. I don't know why. It just makes it seem worse for some reason.
Yeah.
I don't know. Hopefully he can make amends for that somehow. I mean, there, you know, like you said, Daniel, he's probably facing some sort of time. Hopefully he can right the wrongs, turn that ship around. Anyway, I think that was... Luckily, that's all the other stuff we had. But, I mean, LSU did pick up somebody out of the transfer portal. It was a tight end from, oh my goodness, Texas A&M of all places. It was Donovan Green. So, you know, we have to replace some tight ends. We looks like we do have one when in trade as Green for next year. I mean, the guy's what? 6'7", so it's good to have another tight end, at least some with some experience. He's 6'4", 265, so it's actually our second tight end addition from the transfer portal, along with Bauer Sharp. So obviously LSU is looking to get the tight ends involved next year, right? Because
This might be a big brain play by Brian Kelly, having two tight ends with the last name Green. They're going to be rolling them out in the 12 personnel split on both sides of the line, and the other defenses are going to have no idea what's going on or who to cover. They're going to be doing some jersey swaps in game. So hopefully this leads to some action, especially with Mason Taylor, I think all-time leader in tight end catches and yardage for LSU going on to the NFL. So, and we saw big flashes from Tredez Green in the Texas Bowl a couple weeks ago. So promising things, and we'll see if anything else turns up there. But I think overall we did pretty well with this year's transfers, which was a necessary thing to do.
Absolutely. Other than that, you guys have anything else?
Not too much. Basketball, the women's basketball stayed undefeated with the last second kind of crazy shot against Tennessee. And then the men have dropped their first couple games.
Right?
Yeah. And SEC play out of Vanderbilt, Missouri, and then Ole Miss. So, and the schedule doesn't get any easier. So looking rough for the men. Thankfully the women are still on track for a March Madness high seed, I would say, and hopefully another deep run like we had to the national championship 2 years ago, and I guess to the Elite Eight last year with no Caitlin Clark in the way. But that one, I wouldn't say the men are appointment viewing at all at this point.
No. I mean, the worst team was probably Missouri, and they beat us pretty easily, I would say. So I don't know what the heck's going on there. That's why I always say, wait till you hit that SEC slate. We look good first, 11-2 coming in, but gosh, drop three in a row. That's just not good. Like I said, hopefully they can learn from it. Maybe they will, because there's been teams in the past where we were losing games. We were just like, oh my God, what are we doing? And then we beat Kentucky or we beat somebody else. And it's like, okay, they can play. It's just playing at the same level the whole time. And the McMinn have not had a chance to figure that out yet, but maybe they will. That's all I got. So if you guys don't have anything else, then we could probably just wrap it up right there. Keep it nice and sweet.
Yeah, that's about all I have on my end, but excited for the national championship and ready to watch this last game of college football for the year.
Yeah, I don't even think we said the game is on Monday, January 20th. They always have the championship game on a Monday, which is annoying, but at 6:30 Central, 7:30 Eastern. So we'll probably be delaying next week's podcast until after that so we can cover the game for y'all listeners. But yeah, tune in and hoping for a good game.
Amen. And I think that'll pretty much do it for us here on Talking Tigs. Tune in next time. We'll have the championship wrap-up for you, as well as some NFL scores and news and notes on anything and on anything else that is related. So until then, stay safe, stay tuned, and we will talk to you next time right here on Talking Tigs.